Good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Patuas.
I'm the co-host, Dawn Del Greco.
And we are talking about issues about getting older, intelligent aging lessons for life. And we are brought to you by Comfort Keepers, locally in Lower Fairfield County, and nationally in the lower 50 states, 48 states.
Give or take. Something. Do we have like anything that in Hawaii?
We'd like to, but we do have something in Alaska. And we help you stay safe and independent in your own home. You can reach us at 203-629-5029 in Lower Fairfield County. We are going to be talking about radio today. We are on the radio.
We're doing radio to radio.
This is radio
this
to
is
radio.
A real first.
Hello,
for us.
Mars.
Well, we're not actually talking to Mars. We're actually talking to the Hartford area. In August, I went up to the Connecticut Disabilities Expo looking for wonderful people to interview and also information on some different topics that we were planning to put on our schedule for the future, and had a wonderful, a really great time and met Diane Weaver Dunn.
Well, you've made a lot of contacts at that one event.
There was a lot going on. I actually was planning to return back to home base that weekend and was about 3 hours delayed for all very good reasons. So hello, Diane. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having us on your program today.
And we have Tom Grassi. I'm sorry.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Well, anyway, what is? Give me an idea, too. I think a lot of people don't know what CRIS Radio, what the letters stand for.
Sure. It's Connecticut Radio Information Service. And we are basically a radio reading service for people who are blind, learning disabled, or physically disabled, not able to actually read newspapers or magazines.
These are special radios, actually, that are used for this. Is that right?
Well, that's correct. What we do is, well, there's different ways to receive CRIS Radio, but traditionally, when we first launched more than 30 years ago, we would provide free of charge, specially tuned radios, you know, regular transistor radios, or not transistor radios, but traditional radios, and tuned to a sideband frequency of other radio stations as they could not be heard on the radio, you know, on a traditional car radio or anywhere else. They are specially tuned. And we would send that out and we would broadcast on those specially tuned radios.
Now, I think you're officially FM, is that right?
Actually, we are FM, but we I think WDRC, wasn't that AM or
FM?
That wasn't FM. So, yes, we've always been FM.
Okay, the transistor radio. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember that first seeing one of those, and, of course, everyone wanted one. But now you're celebrating the 30th year.
We're actually coming to the end of our 30th year. We've had a year-long festivities, and it's going to actually conclude. Our very first broadcast was in November of 1979, so this entire year since 2009, November, through this entire year, we have celebrated our 30th year, and we will be concluding with CRIS Radio Week, the week of December 6th through 10th, and the governor is kind enough to proclaim it CRIS Radio Week in Connecticut.
And we have a new governor that's going to reproclaim it, probably.
Well, we hope so. We're a great service.
That's great. I can't believe it's 30 years that have gone by. Now, how did you first come introduced yourself? Because you're newer with the radio, is that right?
Right. Personally, I've always been in the news business for many, many years. Published with The Current and other publications, and actually some online publications as well. For the last 9 years, I have been with the Hartford Business Journal, business reporter there, and then managing editor, interim editor. A board member from CRIS Radio had contacted me. They were on their second round of the national search, and they asked me to apply for the position of executive director. And, you know, I thought about it, and I came in and met some of the board members, and I actually got to meet Tom Grassi. And he said to me, you know, CRIS Radio makes my world so much bigger because I get to know what's happening in my community, and it's so meaningful to me. And when he said that, he sort of stole my heart, and I sort of fell in love with CRIS Radio right then and there. So that's sort of why I came on board.
Well, you have a very nice long list of board members as well.
Yes, we do, and they're very active and all volunteer, obviously. And whenever I ask them, can I have all hands on deck, they show up and do whatever it takes to get the job done. They're a terrific group.
Diane, what's the broadcast area for Cruise Radio?
We broadcast statewide. Even though we are on sidebands, we've been fortunate enough to receive sideband frequencies throughout the state. So we have our broadcast center is here in Windsor, and one of the big celebrations is we have a brand new radio broadcast center, our own building that we built from scratch. And we actually, a lot of elbow grease from the board members personally painting and doing a lot of work here. But anyways, so we have the broadcast center in Windsor, and then we have four broadcast satellite studios throughout the state in Danbury, Norwich, West Haven, and Trumbull.
Why is Cruise Radio an important element in Connecticut?
I'm going to let Tom take care of that one.
Okay. Cruise Radio is the only radio reading service for the blind and physically disabled in Connecticut. And why it's so important to people like me is my kids and my wife will say to me, well, why can't you listen to regular radio or TV? Well, I can, but that only gives you the headlines in one or two sentences. And Dennis and Dawn, you could pick up the newspaper and read the entire article if you want to. And if it wasn't for Cruise Radio, I couldn't do that. So it reads the entire article. It starts like with the front pages of the New York Times and the Hartford Courant, 8 o'clock in the morning, and it reads the front pages. I'm a sports nut, and 7:30 to 8 in the morning, they have a wonderful sports program, and they don't just give you the scores, they read you the articles. I graduated from UConn. They have a lot of UConn stories. I'm a big Red Sox and Giant fan, so they have a lot of stories there. They simple things like sports on the air. So it reads you the entire newspaper. And if I didn't have Chris, I couldn't keep up with current news or sports, and I'd feel isolated or I'd feel left out.
And you've got, actually, there's such a selection of publications to choose from. In addition to the news, I was noticing there's, I think you have everything from news all the way to Oprah magazine.
That's right. Actually, we read 30 magazines per month. There's 30 magazines. We even do a bestseller. We do local newspapers as well. And, you know, one of the things that Tom didn't mention, but he had mentioned to me previously, and actually other listeners will call me, is we have a program called Lives and Times, and we include in that program the obituaries. And, you know, you can't get the local obituaries anywhere else but with us, if you either in the newspaper, but unless you're like a prominent person, you know, the regular folks in the community who you might go to church with or live nearby, you won't know that they've passed on unless you were able to hear on Cruise Radio. And that's really important, you know.
So,
go ahead, Dennis.
Question. The newspapers that you read, are they, besides the national newspapers like the New York Times,
right,
are they also the local newspapers?
Oh, absolutely. We do all of the local newspapers, even including in New Britain, New Haven Register, The Day in New London. We read all of those, and those actually are part of our afternoon regional roundup. So we go live in the afternoon in all those areas, so people can hear their local news as well.
Now, I was noticing, too, that we've mentioned health, we've mentioned sports, but there's health issues, there's the editorials and opinions, calendar of events.
Oh, yeah.
The supermarket ads as well. So you can, this is another part of everyday life.
You can almost clip coupons on radio?
You can almost
clip,
or you can definitely get the list and find out what's on sale as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to mention a couple of instances, like what Diane mentioned with the obituaries. I used to be able to read with magnifiers up to 15 years ago, and I could check the obituaries. Now my vision has gotten a lot worse, and I can just see light. So I stopped reading the obituaries, and then I would see a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in several months, how's your wife? She died 6 months ago.
Wow.
So you feel very, very embarrassed and you don't know what to say. So then I started listening to the obituaries on Chris Radio. And that's one of them, believe it or not, one of the most popular programs on Chris Radio. And then a calendar of events, I listened to the calendar of events. And about a year ago, I heard that Jersey Boys was coming to the Bushnell. And right away, I called and got tickets, and my wife and I went. It was fantastic. It wasn't just the singing. It was a story of the Four Seasons. And if I didn't hear that on Chris Radio, by the time I heard it on regular radio, it's hit or miss, I might not have got tickets. So Chris is just such a wonderful service to us who can't read.
Well, Dawn went to see Jersey Boys.
Second time.
she's quite the fan.
That CD has stayed permanently in my car. If a publication would like to be included in your roster, how would they go about that?
Well, actually, what they do is it's very informal. All they have to do is contact us send us information about the publication. And we actually do a wide variety of publications, as you can see. Now, all of them are national. We also include CT Mirror, the online news service out of Yale, that new nonprofit investigative news service in our news programs. And we also do sometimes, catalogs for assistive technology. We'll read the items that are available in assistive technology that people can purchase. Just so those folks have access to that information. One of the things I also wanted to mention is while our morning live news programs are very popular and the obituaries, believe it or not, one of the most popular programs, the other second most popular program is our market time program. And that program is, for all of us who are sighted, we take it for granted when we get those store circulars and flyers in the newspaper and we look at it, whether or not we want to, we'll see what's on sale. But for people who are blind, they don't take that for granted. That is actually an important feature that we broadcast. And a lot of my listeners will call and they'll say, you know what, I take out my pen and paper, and when that comes on the air, gee, you can buy two cans, get one free, or something like that, whatever the sales are, they actually make their grocery list and they hear our broadcast of Market Time. So it's not just about news and news. It's also information and living your life like other people are able to.
Do supermarkets accept, in lieu of coupons, for instance, information from Chris?
We've never done that, where people can have electronic coupons.
Mm-hmm.
That is an excellent idea, though, Dennis, and I'm right now writing it down because we are actually looking for underwriters, and we're looking for program underwriters, and supermarket chains and supermarkets.
They would be a great target for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And because we're a nonprofit and we provide all of our services for free of charge and we send out the radios at no cost, we obviously need funding to continue to operate.
Absolutely.
So they would be great, and I'm writing it right down.
Okay.
Listen,
we're going to jump to a break, and then we're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to continue talking about Chris Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Aging Show, and we are talking with Connecticut Radio Information Service.
Also known as Chris Radio.
Known as Chris Radio, and we're talking with Diane Dunn and Tom Grassi.
Diane, you have one of the smallest staffs, I think, in comparison to the number of actual volunteers and members of the Chris Radio group. No, well, the ratio is very small of the number of employees that you have. So what the impact of your operation out here throughout Connecticut appears that you would have thousands of people working as opposed to the number that you have. So do you want to talk about your volunteers and how
sure.
you're organized?
Sure. I mean, several other radio reading services, they have about 10 employees. We actually have two full-time employees, myself and my operations manager, and a part-time programming director, part-time accountant that comes in only a few hours a week, and we have a part-time engineer, and that's it. But we have 400 wonderful volunteers, and obviously that number fluctuates from time to time between 350 to 400, but we've been very blessed to have a number of very, very dedicated volunteers, including, I don't know if you've heard of Jim McPherson, but he's been here for 30 years. He was actually the reader at our first broadcast in 1979.
Yes, he's quite well known.
Right, right. And he actually read, was doing live news this morning for us. He just walked out and said goodbye, but he's been, and we have a number of people who have been here for many, many years. Joanne Nesty from Channel 30 has been here for many years, I think 28 years. We have, you know, people that are not in TV and radio. Mary Jo Martin from Norwalk. We have Jim Parker from, I believe he's in the greater Hartford area. He's 25 years. Mary Jo's 20 years. And it's not unusual to find people 5, 10 years. For example, Tom's been with the organization for 30 years in one capacity or another. So we the volunteers are really what helps us.
Now, you've stated they're trained volunteers. What type of training process is there, and how does one become a volunteer?
Well, first of all, we have an application process. You download the application, you send it in. Our operations manager usually will review the application, talk to the folks, and see what their interest is, and also what our needs are. When we train them, the reason we actually ask for a 1 year commitment and at least 1 hour a month for the volunteers. Some folks will say, well, I want to do it for the summer. Unfortunately, it's just not worth our time to train somebody, for example, to produce the news. That requires, you know, training, and somebody has to be there with you to train you.
So there's broadcast training.
Yeah. So you get broadcast training, but, you know, Tom pointed out, it's not just about reading on the radio. We also have clerical functions. We don't have administrative assistant, for example. We have people helping us with mailings. We have folks helping us sending out the radios.
The blind people operate the control board when people are on the air live, and they also do the weather. It's done in Braille for them so they could read the weather while the live programming is on. So that's fantastic.
Now, let me ask you, are all of the readings done in the studio?
Yes, all of our readings are done in the studio.
Now, a question that seems natural to me is, with the technological advancements that we've made, is it possible that some of the readings can be done remotely and fed back to you?
You know, we're actually investigating that with a major corporation here in the state to see if that's something that's doable, because we're actually expanding our programming to reach out to children and Spanish-speaking folks who are blind or disabled. And, you know, this would be extremely helpful. So we're actually exploring that exact possibility.
Yeah, because I see that as a possibility, and certainly any organization or any company that is in that realm would be a great sponsor for something of that nature, because it would promote their product very well. The other thing I thought of was the possibility of there's voice recognition programs, and I imagine that there's textual recognition programs that convert to voice.
You know, that's true. Maybe, I don't know, Tom might be able to speak to that, but I don't know if you've ever heard of some of the software programs that do convert text online to voice, but it's computerized voice.
It is computerized voice.
And Dennis, you have a much nicer voice than
You know, actually, if I had the time, logistics are a little bit difficult, but I'd be happy to read for you.
He's a good reader.
Oh, another volunteer.
Another volunteer.
Now, as far as
you could read down in Danbury or in Trumbull.
See.
Okay, there you go.
I definitely have to give him one more job.
Yeah, I don't have enough things to do.
No, I know.
I would like to just mention a couple things about the people that are eligible. Historically, most people think it was just for the blind, and initially it was, because William Patton, the executive director at Services for the Blind. It was his idea way back in 1978, and then we went on the air in 1979. I was working there as the head of one of the departments. But we have to really reach out to the people that are physically disabled, and these people, their eyesight is fine, but they can't pick up the newspaper and turn pages. It's multiple sclerosis, people that can't use their hands to turn the pages or hold the paper. Parkinson's, people with arthritis, diabetic, neuropathy, cerebral palsy, stroke victims. All these people are eligible for CRIS services. And also, a majority of our people are over the age of 65 that receive our service.
Oh, okay.
How many subscribers do you have in the state of Connecticut?
You know, we have, it's a range between 4,000 to 6,000, because you can also receive CRIS Radio online streaming at our website, which is www.chrisradio.org. And even though we are going to be relaunching a new web redesign with on-demand programming, you can hear it live right now streaming at that website.
We're going to take another break. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to continue talking with Diane and Tom about CRIS Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Aging Show, and we are continuing with Tom and Diane talking about CRIS Radio. How do you market? Because to be honest with you, until Dawn brought this to my attention, I wasn't aware of it. And I could see so many uses of your service in our area that I want to get the word out.
Sure. Well, thank you for that. Actually, we are refocusing a lot of our energy to, you know, marketing our organization. One way, obviously, is we've gone through the media here. Since I've come on board, we've had, more than 24 articles written about us. We've been on TV, radio programs like yours. So that's one way we're marketing it. The other thing that we're launching is joining listservs for a group who actually could benefit from our service. And so we're sort of doing an online effort by joining these listservs and getting the word out. In fact, one of our major initiatives is to reach the 72,000 children who are receiving special education services in the state by launching a program about science, technology, the environment, and math, and reading about 11 magazines geared to children from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And the way we're reaching them, actually, is in addition to traditional marketing, we're going online with the listservs and telling their parents through these listservs that we have this program that might benefit their child.
That's fantastic.
Or educators as well, yeah.
That's great. How can CRIS Radio be heard? We've talked about, obviously, the radios, which are special radios that you make available to a subscriber, or they can listen via your website. But there's other ways that they can listen, too.
That's right. Well, I mentioned we can be heard on streaming audio on our website, which is www.chrisradio.org. We also have people can get connected on their through their cable TV system, and they can connect their own FM radio to their cable, or the cable people can come out and hook it up for them so they can hear that. And it's on the SAP channel, the second audio channel, that they can hear it on that. We also have a program called Telephone Reader, and we've actually been revising and updating that system, and people can call in on a special phone number, and they hit their eligibility numbers, like a passcode, and they get in, and they can actually hear archive programming as well.
What's wonderful about the Telephone Reader is on the regular programming, you have like sports at 7:30, the front pages at 8 o'clock in the morning. The Telephone Reader, you can call in and you can get any article or any program any time of the day. And there are three areas in Connecticut where CRIS isn't available through the radio: Waterbury, Litchfield, and some parts of out Norwich, New London area. And this is accessible to the people out there from Telephone Reader, as well as because they don't have the radio available.
Tom, you at the break mentioned
Internet radios.
Right.
And this is something that is available in nursing homes, would assisted living facilities also?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yep. So this,
we would have
how does
to
this
provide,
work?
We would, it's a special, it's a better radio than the ones that we put in the homes. It's internet radio.
It's
a beautiful radio with great reception.
So you've covered all the bases. There's really no reason that someone in Connecticut couldn't access your broadcast either in an archive or in a live fashion.
That's correct. correct. And actually, we also repeat from the midnight hour, we repeat the day's programming. So for people who are night owls, we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Diane, what is the process to apply for service?
All the folks need to do, they can either go to our website and download the application, and they would need to contact some type of health care provider or a social worker to verify that this person is indeed eligible for our service, which means that they are either have low vision, they are blind, or they have a physical disability or a learning disability. And that's an area that we really had not focused on very much, but now we are going to try to help that group as well.
Well, according to the Library of Congress, there's 1.4% of the population in every state is eligible for services from Chris Radio or the Books on Tape. So in Connecticut, that would be approximately 50,000, because there's 3.5 million people in Connecticut. So that's the population, on top of what Diane was saying about the 73,000 children.
Yeah, there are 72,000 actually, or 72 and change thousand kids in the state of pre-K through grade 12 who are receiving special ed services, and those kids would also be eligible for our new children's programming.
But Diane, you've got, with 24 hours a day and all the initiatives that you have on board for the future and just launching in the immediate future, what is the fundraising that we need to know about? How can we help?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for asking, because we are going to be having our annual campaign the week of December 6th through December 10th, which is Chris Radio Week in Connecticut. And on our new redesigned website, people can simply hit the Donate Now button on our new website and send us a donation if they want to. We're also going to be sending out mailers. Or if folks want to just mail in a check, they can mail in a check at Chris Radio, 315 Windsor Avenue, Windsor, Connecticut, 06095. We're also having several fundraisers. We're going to various restaurants, and we're going to be posting those restaurants on our website. The restaurants are going to be donating a small portion of their proceeds, like, you know, 5 to 10% of the evening's take, to Chris Radio. We're also having, for the very first time, a dining and dancing in the dark on April 9th. And that's going to be in South Windsor at a banquet hall there. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a dance-off, and we're going to have the dancing audio described. And we're going to have a lot of programs and a lot of fun things happening at that event. We're also going to have a golf classic, our 14th annual golf classic, on Wednesday, June 29th, and that is of next year, too. So if folks want to help us, please help.
I would get the award for the highest score in that, as opposed to getting anywhere near par. But you also have something called Friends of Chris, is that right?
That's right. Our Friends of Chris, what we're offering businesses and organizations, we're offering them, they want to become a friend of Chris. We will give them on-air broadcast credit. In other words, not a call to action, but we would say this program was brought to you by, let's say it was Comfort Keepers. It would be Comfort Keepers, and then you would have your logo on our website, and we would give you recognition in the community for being one of our friends. So, and what we're doing is we have sort of outlined various price points, I guess you would say. If people want to commit for a year, they could donate a certain amount, and they get year-long underwriting credits. If they can want to try it out for 13 weeks, it's obviously a lot less money. So we're looking for donations to help us keep our program going, because as everybody must realize, the economy has taken a real hit with nonprofits, and we have seen our funding decrease significantly.
Well, this is a wonderful gift for the holidays. It's definitely stretches goodwill in every direction. Diane, that's Connecticut, do you go out and speak in the community as well? Are you available for speaking engagements?
Absolutely. We also are launching a speakers bureau, and members of the board and some of our volunteers, we are trying to get that going sometime this winter. You know, with the holidays, I don't know how many folks really want to hear about Chris Radio, but we're hoping to have folks available and schedule them for speaking engagements in December, and I also will be going to some of those as well.
Diane, is this a program that is being replicated in other states?
Yes, radio reading services have been around for about 30 years. The problem is that there have been several that have had to close their doors, and because the funding is just this economy really hurt a lot of radio reading services. So our friends in Vermont, their service is no longer. The one in South Carolina, that one had to close. And so, there are other radio reading services, but we are, first of all, going to be the only ones offering programming for children, actually, throughout the nation. And that program is going to be unique to Connecticut, and we are also the only ones that offer local news in Connecticut.
Our show is also heard outside of Connecticut, mm-hmm. and so as a result, we have people that might be interested in this initiative or supporting initiatives that are already in existence. I think that, so it would be radio reader, is that the words that someone would be searching on the internet for?
Well, actually, with our it's radio reading service, but it's also, if somebody Googles, let's say, radio reading service in Connecticut or the handicapped, reading services for the handicapped, they should, Chris Radio should pop up.
Okay. It's a great service. It was a fantastic idea at the time that it was initiated, and it remains this. I just wish that more people knew about it, and we'll do what we can to help that.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Tom, you're actually the resident historian.
Yes, if you want to call me that.
But we were looking at the Chris.
You're historical, or you are a historian?
Quite a few changes over the past 30 years.
Yes, it's like I mentioned before, Chris started in one room at State Board of Education and Services for the Blind in Wethersfield in 1979, 2 hours a day just in the Hartford area. And then shortly after that, we expanded to the Fairfield County area. And then, like Diane mentioned, now there is the four satellite locations, and basically they do live broadcasts in the morning for a couple hours, and then at night for the regional roundup with all the local papers. And it's just been a wonderful service. And we started out Services for the Blind. We always were associated with them, and they provided us with the space at no cost. And then when the workshop closed at Services for the Blind several years ago, the landlord started charging us $4,500 a month. And that's when the board decided to build our own building. And now we have this beautiful building here in Windsor, and it's an exciting and challenging time for Chris, but I almost have tears in my eyes because I remember when it was one room in Wethersfield, and now we have this wonderful location, and now we have Diane to lead us into the future. And I think people like the people that work for you could refer people to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They see people in their homes that don't even know that we existed.
Well, we would welcome any material, and you've got some brochures that if you could send them
sure.
to us, we would get them in other people's hands and actually add them to our mailings to some of our clients. But people just need to be aware that the blind have issues that the sighted don't, and we take for granted so much every day, and being able to read the details of a newspaper article, given the sound bites that we get on broadcast news, there's so much enjoyment and added information. It's a great service.
And a couple things I want to mention. Again, it's been blind. There's so many people that are physically disabled, even people like with dyslexia, someone who's allergic to chemicals and can't pick up a paper. So there's so many other people. And how you can help us also is the Lions Clubs. We didn't mention this. Are tremendous to us every year. They donated $50,000 last year. They
wow.
usually donate $30,000. And we have to reach out to Rotary, Kiwanis, Civitan, all these people, and let them know that they could help us with volunteers, referring clients, and donating money.
And Dennis, I really wanted the Lions Club. I'm so glad you brought that up, Tom,
because
I wanted to mention it specifically.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And Tom, it's been, I'm noticing here, in 1986, you began broadcasting 24 hours a day. So this is 24 years, 24 hours.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's right.
All right. Well, I want to thank Diane and Tom for coming on and talking about Chris Radio. This is something, again, I wasn't aware of. And until Dawn met you, Dawn wasn't aware of. So
no, you're right.
We'll help you get the word out.
Well, thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate it because our service isn't just about information. We're really empowering people informing people and educating people about what's going on in their community and their world. And we truly are a lifeline to the community for individuals who cannot read a newspaper.
All right. Well, you'll hear more from us, too.